WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at the land of Kush. We're down at Utah and Martin Luther King. We're about a block and a half away from the Meyer off, about three blocks away from where I got my my bachelor science and corporate communication. I've communicated corporately for a long time. I do that on behalf of our friends at Window Nation, our newest sponsor. 2-for-1 windows happening, getting ours measured today. Our friends at Goodwill, of course. We had Lisa Rosiniak on this week talking about jobs programs. And we're giving away Maryland lottery tickets. I got some Crab Cake Tour giveaways, including some Betty Boop scratch-offs that Chloe's doing. Usually when Tharu Vignaraj is here, Don comes in, you know, and dominates all the crime and all the this and all of that. I haven't ever gotten together with just you and I.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
Just you and I.
I love it.
So people say, why is Tharu running again? What's happening here? Where are you on the campaign trail? It's been about 2-3 months since we got together.
It's been... Had I announced when we came on?
I think you announced
just about
right
two,
there.
Yeah.
You
that's
were
right,
there.
That's right.
You were there.
So it's been just about 2 months.
Well, I mean, there were factions that thought you can't win.
Yep.
I think the closer we get to this, I think you can win, right? I think you walking the streets and feeling the vibe, you feel like you're more in this than maybe you were in any other race you've been in.
You know, I got to be honest. I knew that we were in a good spot before we entered. Frankly, I wouldn't have got in if it wasn't for that. But I think the last 2 months have done a really good job, the team in particular, of making it clear to the world that we're in the driver's seat. We don't take anything for granted. We work very hard every day. But I think the folks that were worried about a repeat of 4 years ago, that were worried about the splitting of the vote, that were worried about, you know, through not being able to get traction, I think a lot of that has been dispelled between the governor's endorsement, between a bunch of police commissioners coming out and never before coming together to endorse us, between the fundraising total, which kind of blew the other campaigns out of the water. I think suddenly people realize that momentum built on the foundation of my losses. Let's be honest, right?
Right. Yeah, the reason getting we're, your name out on the street and it created a base for you.
Yeah.
That's perceived as more right than left. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
And, you're the champion. Fox 45 is your champion. I stand in the middle of anything that can fix this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I like you, but I don't need to endorse you or Brooke before you or Barry Glassman 5 weeks from now or any of the... For me, I want to hear the message and I want to hear what the goals and the strategy are for the audience to decide.
Yeah.
You know, I'm only one vote anyway. What difference does it make if I vote for you or not, right?
You know... A couple of people after we were on last time said, we watched your interview on Baltimore Positive. This is over at Fadley's with you and Don. And you seemed willing to say things that other campaigns weren't willing to say. You seemed willing...
I don't think you're afraid of losing.
I'm not. And, I'm not doing this because this is my lifelong dream. My lifelong dream, as far as I can tell, is to try to help Baltimore. And I did it as a federal prosecutor. I did it as a city prosecutor. I did it as deputy attorney general. The city is in profound crisis. Things are getting worse, not better. And nobody seems to have a plan or a clear strategy. Everybody says the same platitudes, right? Let's go after violent repeat offenders. Great. We all agree on that. Let's invest in education. Great. We all agree on that. But where does the rubber hit the road? What do you do on day one? And I think people are awakening to the reality that there's one candidate, one campaign that knows what they're going to do 3 months before they take the oath, the day that they take the oath, and 3 months later, because we've been focused on this for a long time. I'm the only prosecutor of real note in the race. You got a career defense attorney. You got a very eloquent activist. I think Marilyn Mosby is a spokeswoman for a lot of causes, and she's a terrific spokeswoman, but she's not a prosecutor. And I think what Baltimore needs right now is a proven prosecutor to turn that office around.
All right, so we're obviously not getting a lot right at this point, right?
Yeah.
And every time you come on, you quote these horrible statistics that if somebody came in and killed me now, you'd have a hard time putting them in jail.
Yep.
Like, and for lots and lots of reasons. I mean, and maybe you could speak to that.
Sure.
With witnesses, all of that. How does that change? How do we change the hearts and the minds of the community here and really put bad guys away. Put people away that are capable of coming in and killing me. Put them away.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, Nestor. One of the reasons I love this show is it gives you enough time to actually explain this in a way that ordinary folks can understand. So there are reasons why it's hard to arrest people and prosecute them for murder that have always been the case. Witnesses have never been comfortable coming forward in Baltimore City. There's always been more cases than there are detectives. There's always been challenges with the docket size, with the judges, with the community. But there are a couple of problems that are new, that have emerged on Marilyn Mosby's watch. And those are the problems that you can reverse tomorrow. Number one, there is a relationship that is broken between police and prosecutors where the police don't trust her and she does everything she can to cast the police as the enemy instead of as a partner. That is a huge problem. When there's a touch-and-go case. It's a tough case against a murderer, and the police want to charge it. She's reluctant to do so, so the charges never get filed. That's a new problem that Marilyn Mosby has introduced. The number of...
We've never had a problem saying, that's a crime, you're a criminal, let's put you in jail.
That's exactly right. And, you know, specifically on homicides...
That seems pretty fundamental, right? I mean, it really does.
Well, look, if you care like Marilyn Mosby does about her conviction rate, if she wants to be able to advertise her conviction rate, the only thing she focuses on is the number of cases that plead out and the number of cases that get dropped. Because she can drop all the cases that she wants and they don't count against her conviction rate. The way she does the math, if you got 100 cases and you drop 50 of them, you don't have to count those in your conviction rate. And then of the 50 cases that remain, if you plead out 48 of them, to a time-served sentence, she counts every single one of those cases as a conviction. So instead of having a 2% conviction rate out of the original 100, she starts talking about a 92% conviction rate because she counts every case as a conviction. So you've got a relationship problem between the police and the prosecutors. You've got prosecutors leaving every day from that office in ways that that office has never seen before. Attrition is, it happens in government offices, but people are leaving in droves. They're leaving because there's no management. Higher, more senior people are leaving. New people are leaving. That's a huge problem. And the last problem...
I don't think there could be a big pipeline for that job either, right? There's no more pipeline for that job than there is for being a cop at this point, right?
Oh, Nestor, being a prosecutor is one of the best jobs in the land. It's the job that so many of us went to law school wanting to do because we saw it on Law and Order. We saw it on television. The person who stands up and tries to get a measure of justice, there are law students and young lawyers and senior lawyers that would love that job. There's one reason that maybe people don't appreciate. Most lawyers, they don't go to trial. Right? A corporate lawyer, a real estate lawyer, a trust and estates lawyer, those lawyers, they never end up seeing the inside of a courtroom. The only lawyers that regularly get a chance to stand up in front of a jury and make an argument are prosecutors and defense attorneys. There is, I promise you, an army of people.
That was your
waiting dream? Yeah. I mean, look, it, to be honest, when I was in law school, I wanted to be a law professor. But when I went to law school, when I was applying for law school, it was because at Woodlawn High School, you know, not far from here, I was a mock trial kid. I walked into the Towson courthouse and pretended I was a lawyer and stood up and made arguments in front of a fake jury. That's what you grew up dreaming of doing. And so when
that's
you
driving
get
a race car,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that job in particular, I think, is a job that people would die to do. But right now, if you don't have any supervision, you're not really working
with
the
cops. So you think you can make that group strong?
Yeah. I think I've told you this story before, but for people that are tuning in for the first time, I'll share this story again. There's an incredible prosecutor. He's obviously passed, who is the legendary DA in New York City, Robert Morgenthau.
Okay.
Over the course of a 40-year career, he built what most regard as the best prosecutor's office in America. And here's what he would do. He would literally go to the best law schools, the best law firms, the best local trial law firms, the best trial law schools, and he would get rooms of people, young people. He'd get them in the room, and he'd say, folks, I want you to come work for me. I want you to work as a prosecutor in the Manhattan DA's office. And here's my pitch to you. You're going to work for a dime on the dollar, and you're going to work harder than you've ever worked before, and you're going to work every weekend for the next 4 years. But you will learn.
Every one of you's already done that, by the way, because you're in law school, right?
That's exactly right. And they got the energy for it. And then he would say, but you'll learn more about trying a case in your next 4 years in the Manhattan DA's office than you will for the rest of your career. And you will do more good in the next 4 years fighting crime in Manhattan than you will for the rest of your life. And it worked. It became the most coveted position out of law school, out of these local law firms in the country.
And poorly paid.
Oh, people were getting paid a nickel on the dollar for what they were doing. It's public service. You don't do it for the money. I mean, this is a separate conversation. But the people that came to that job and worked there, they loved it. It became the most coveted position in America. And here's the thing. New York City hasn't got them anymore. Baltimore is.
Right. We can, the bad guys away. Yeah. We need them here.
We can use our challenges, our high murder rate, all of the unsolved cases as a lightning rod to recruit the best prosecutors in the country. That's what I'm going to do.
The Ruvik Naraj is here. We're at the Land of Kush, recommended by you and recommended previously by Brooke Learman and recommended as well by Odette Ramos, who couldn't make it today, but we're going to get Odette on at some point. We're going to have Kirby Fowler here talking about Brew at the Zoo as well. In regard to this job, tell people what the job is, because I think that's the first thing.
Yeah.
We're all getting ballots. We all want to participate in the American process and all this. But not all of us really understand what we're voting for, who we're voting for, you know, the good cop, bad cop, all that stuff.
I appreciate that.
The job is the job, right?
Yep.
And I don't know that any of us think we're getting the job right now.
The title is actually complicating because there is a U.S. attorney who is the top prosecutor by the Justice Department who's responsible for federal crimes, okay? There is the Attorney General for the state of Maryland. I was Deputy Attorney General under Brian Frosch. They actually have limited jurisdiction over crime. Then there's the state's attorney for Baltimore City. That's what I'm running for. The state's attorney for Baltimore City is responsible for every crime that takes place in Baltimore City. So if it's a burglary, a carjacking, a murder, a theft, a fraud...
You prosecute.
We prosecute it.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
Some other jurisdictions call it the DA. And one of the reasons I think
state I'm... State of Maryland versus Aparicio, if I do that.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. And the reason I'm so proud to have a chance to serve in that role is not just because I was in that office. I was a federal prosecutor. I was a city prosecutor. I was Deputy Attorney General. I'm the guy who has been doing this his whole career. I prosecuted cases as a federal prosecutor. I prosecuted cases as chief of major investigations. We did all the wiretaps and the high-profile homicide cases. I tried a number of those cases myself. And then even as Deputy Attorney General, I oversaw the criminal divisions, and I prosecuted cases there as well, including two murder cases. That's the kind of resume, that's the kind of experience that I think you want in a moment like now. That's not to say that every moment is the same. There might have been a moment 10, 15, 20 years ago where you wanted a defense attorney to come in. There might have been a moment where you wanted an activist. You wanted an activist to go out there and advocate for reform. So I'm not saying that Marilyn Mosby or my other opponent are the wrong candidate forever. They're just not the wrong candidate in this moment. Right now, if you choose between an activist, a career defense attorney, and a proven prosecutor, I think the choice is clear. This city right now doesn't need a politician. It doesn't need a career defense attorney. It needs a prosecutor.
Seen Simon's TV project yet? Have you?
No.
We Own the City? No?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, David Simon.
I have David on the show this week. I haven't watched the show yet. He's gonna be mad with me. But you lived that, right? I mean, books, all of that. That's not... One part of it in watching, it's really weird, I'm going to tell him this, is I've never seen The Wire, even though it was fictional, but sort of surrounded with reality to some degree. This is like something that really happened while I lived downtown, probably crossed paths with Wayne Jenkins at some point, somewhere between Essex and my Dundalk and down. This is playing out on TV, and people see it, and it's not fictional.
No.
Maybe it's a dramatic portrayal or whatever, but... This really happened, and this can't happen here.
You should watch it. Everybody should watch it because it shows you one part of the city. It shows you one part of the underbelly of the police department, and it highlights why you need prosecutors to hold police accountable sometimes. I mean, this was the worst policing scandal perhaps in American history. A bunch of cops that were literally forging search warrants, that were planting evidence, that were stealing drugs from drug dealers and selling them to other drug dealers. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And we were doing it here in this city. These cops were doing it week after week, month after month, year after year, under the nose of this city, under the nose of the commissioners, under the nose
with
of
no
the mayors,
oversight, really.
With no oversight.
Other than how many guns did you bring in?
That's exactly right.
That was the measurement.
Correct. And I always point out to the fact that, number one, the state's attorney's office could have brought those charges. There's no reason the feds had to be involved in that. You had some terrific federal agents and federal prosecutors working on that case to bring them to justice. But that's the job of prosecutors. Nothing incompatible about prosecuting robbers for committing crimes and prosecuting the cops for committing crimes. That's the job of prosecutors, and yet this state's attorney's office has not taken that job seriously. The other part that I'd mention, every one of those cops was collecting tens of thousands of dollars in police overtime. Before they learned how to forge a search warrant or plant evidence, they were committing overtime fraud. There were red flags that we could have seen a mile away. And so when people say, what are you going to do about it? I said, look, there's some very basic blocking and tackling when it comes to police accountability. If you have more than $10,000 of overtime, let's take a look. Let's audit that overtime.
Well, the maybe question there's a legitimate is what motivates one to be a police officer. And Don and I talk about that all the time. And, you know, service, not adventure. That's
sure.
That's
great expression.
Uncle Don Moeller on my left shoulder, you know, talking. And that sort of sticks with me as well when people of color are pulled over by police officers and these issues continue to go on and on and on, you know?
And Nestor, this is the part that I think it's so important to emphasize, because people often conflate, we don't want cops pulling over individuals on trumped up charges with, we don't want cops. That's not true. The communities that I talk to every day that face the most harsh burden of this spike in crime, they want more cops. They want cops walking the beat. They want cops sending a signal to the drug dealers that they can't sell in front of their grandmother's house. They want cops arresting the carjackers and the killers. They want cops to do their job, to be empowered to do their job, to work with prosecutors to get these criminals off the streets. What they don't want is racial profiling. What they don't want is police brutality. What none of us have ever believed is that dirty cops are necessary to do the good work of noble policing. It's not true.
That's dirty, hairy stuff.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's the stuff, unfortunately, not of fiction. It's a part of reality here in Baltimore. But you should be cracking down on that, prosecuting those dirty cops that dishonor the badge, and also in the same sentence, reminding yourself that these cops put a badge and a gun on. They kiss their children goodbye in the morning, and they go into the most dangerous city in America, and they protect and serve. And they pray that they're going to make it home. And we ought to make sure that to these brave men and women who are running into danger, that we say thank you. And when was the last time a city official, an elected official in Baltimore did that? I don't remember it.
Well, also, we're charging the police to go out to say, there was a murder, go find the murderer.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're the cop, arrest them, put yourself in harm's way. And then, here's the bad guy. Prosecute him. Maryland, put him in jail. Yep. This person's dangerous. But or they're in jail, and they shouldn't be coming out of jail to burden Maryland or the cops or Brandon or Larry or anybody, right? But that's – I want to take that in the next segment.
Great.
We'll do that.
That sounds great.
I want to talk about who's committing these crimes and why they're committing them. And because that's at the core of this, right? Because you're going to come back with some numbers about murders and things that you think – 4 years from now, you can impact.
Absolutely. And let me just end by saying this. When the police commissioners endorsed me, a bunch of police commissioners, as well as the police chief from Baltimore County endorsed me, never had done this before. They said the rank and file respected Theroux more than any prosecutor we've ever met. And the reason for that was not because I was nice to them. It's not because I bought them lunch every day. It was because I was tough on them. I was their partner. They respected me enough to know that I would hold them accountable if they ever did anything wrong. I would give them advice on how to make cases better. But if they did the work and they presented a good case to me, I would take that case into the gauntlet of trial if necessary, because we were a partnership. That is what I think you got to build on. That's what's been missing these last 8 years, and we're gonna do our best to bring that back.
All right, Theroux Vigneraj is here. He's running for office again. We'll tell you more about that. We're at the Land of Kush. I have such great sponsors. Had Lisa Rosiniak on this week from Goodwill. They just got funding for the Excel Center. Their jobs programs are doing great stuff, in addition to filling up the truck with the weekend stuff. Window Nation, newest sponsor we have here on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'll be telling you more about 2-for-1 windows all summer long. We're going to bring Harley and some of the good folks there on local as well. Good story there. And our friends at the Maryland Crab Cake Tour and the Maryland Lottery. We're giving away the Betty Boop scratch-off tickets here. Theroux, you want the pink one or the blue one? We're going to work on that. big appreciation to our friends here too, Nadja and Greg, for hosting us. And I've already started in. I had my first bite of the vegan crab cake.
It's incredible.
Thumbs up.
It's incredible.
Thumbs up.
Right?
Thumbs up. With the yum yum sauce, thumbs up. I'm on it. Back for more from the land of Kush. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.